Well, we're a few days away from Christmas, I guess about 2 weeks today. And how many, I asked it last week, so now let me ask again. How many of you are done with your Christmas shopping? A few more than last week, and the rest of us still do not like you or like that you've done that. I don't know, Christmas shopping seems to have changed. I don't know for you if it's changed or not, you know. I really used to love to go to the mall. I know that's kind of crazy. I used to love to go to the mall and spend time with the mall and enjoyed all the trappings of the Christmas music in the mall and all that kind of stuff. I don't really enjoy that at all. Somebody said it's because I'm getting older, and I resent that. It has nothing to do with me getting older. The mall is just worse, you know. But here's the deal is, in the meantime, you know where I do my Christmas shopping? And please do not say 7-Eleven, because I don't buy all my stuff there, some of it, but not all of it. But, you know, somebody said it, Amazon.com, Prime, you know, free, same day delivery. How's that? You know, Amazon.com. Many people don't pay attention to it, though. You know, there are sometimes when I'm on there shopping, I'm like, okay, I'd like to remember that, but I don't want to buy it today. So they have a thing that you can create. It's called a wish list. I have a wish list with pages and pages and pages of stuff. But then every once in a while, I'll go back and I'll look at that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot I was going to buy that. And I go back and have the opportunity. It's a private wish list. But did you know that they also have a thing that's a public wish list that you can go in there and set it like people can go in there and see? You can invite people to see your wish list so they know exactly what you want for Christmas. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, because, you know, there's nothing worse than getting a bad Christmas present. You know, like, have you ever gotten one of those awful Christmas presents and then you have to go like, oh, wow, you know, tires for my car. You know, I'm like, oil for the car. I mean, seriously, like, that, or some crazy thing, some crazy gadget. A few years ago, sometimes it is hard to buy things for people. A few years ago, I found a website that I just loved for everybody on my Christmas list. I bought an item for everyone from this company. And you go online and you order, it costs $20 per present. And they wrap it and send it to the people, and you don't know what it is. Yes, it's awesome. I mean, because when they were opening the presents, I didn't know what it was either. I mean, but it was sun visors or flip-flops or there was one, Mike and Aaron Moore Lefevre, they got an LED light, which I was like, oh, well, that's kind of crazy. And they put it in their living room, and it's still in their living room. And I'm like, you know, it was just one of the craziest Christmas present things I've ever done. And I've gotten some really bad Christmas presents before. My family a couple of years ago gave me, because I lose my keys all the time, and so they gave me one of those whistle things that you put on your keychain. Okay, now listen, my family's known me my entire life, and they gave me this whistle thing that when you whistle, my family knows I can't whistle. I've never been able to whistle, don't have the right embouchure for it, and I just can't whistle. And so one of those Christmas presents they spent money on that really didn't mean anything. But last year, I went to my sister's house for Christmas Day, and all of her kids were in, and they all gathered into the living room, and they're all staring at me, and I'm like, okay, is there something wrong? Are you going to tell me they're, you know, like, there's something bad going on? They handed me a box. It was a Christmas present. I opened up the box, and when I open it up, there inside of this box is a little stuffed dog, a little cute puppy and a dog, and they had written a note on it that was a little bit ambiguous. It said, you know, I had lost a dog 2 years ago at Christmas time, and my heart was kind of broken. I missed that dog. I have another dog, but I still missed that first one. And this note said something to the effect of, we know that you love Boss, and now that he's gone, we wanted to give you another puppy for a gift. So I'm holding this stuffed dog, And I'm like, wow, I'm over 40 and you gave me a stuffed dog for Christmas. I mean, seriously, that was kind of where I was. And they kind of caught on that I didn't realize that. And they're like, we actually bought you a new puppy from the same breeder Boss was bred from, and he's not going to be born until December 27th, and so you're going to be able to get a new puppy. And so this was the Christmas present, and here, this was Bentley when he was a puppy. I love that dog. I'm serious. He is the most affectionate dog, and he doesn't just love me, and he loves me a lot, but I have an older dog, Hugo. He will, anywhere Hugo is, Bentley wants to be near him, and you can see this is Hugo, and there's Bentley. I'm serious. Now that's a great Christmas present. It wasn't really something, I wouldn't have gone out and picked that for myself, but really, maybe in my heart, it was on my Christmas wish list, and I love that, and so I thank my family for that. But today, I'm going to spend a few moments, and I want to talk about a Christmas wish list that I have for you. Some things that I hope that you'll find, that you'll discover, things that you'll receive in this Christmas season. And so today, I want you to turn with me to Luke, the first chapter, and we're going to read a pretty familiar story. And there are some things in this that I hope that you receive. There are some things that I hope that you'll receive in this Christmas season and into your life. In Luke, the first chapter, you're familiar with it. This is the Christmas story. Where we're going to start is down in verse number 11. And in verse number 11, it begins at the story of a man. He's a priest. His name is Zacharias. And Zacharias is a priest at the temple. And he's married to a woman by the name of Elizabeth. Elizabeth happens to be the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth have never had children, and they're older now in their life. And that's where our story picks up. An angel of the Lord comes to visit. Verse number 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fell upon him. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, okay, there are a couple of things about this that I would pay attention to. It's obviously a prayer that he's been praying for a long time, that the Lord has heard this prayer, but the answer has been delayed. And now an angel of the Lord shows up and tells him that God's going to answer his prayer. Verse number 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, this is an interesting response, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Okay, first of all, let me just talk to you. If you've been praying for the Lord to give you a baby, if you've been praying for the Lord to do something, and you're at the temple, and an angel shows up, seriously, this is not a good time to have an argument with an angel. I mean, really, if you're going, "Lord, give us a baby, Lord, give us a baby," angel comes along and says, "You're going to have a baby." How am I going to know that for sure? I'm like, he literally has an argument with the angel. And he says, "We're too old," starts to give the reasons why it's not going to take place. And the angel says, "Okay, you're going to be mute. You're not going to be able to speak until this baby arrives." I want to read a little bit further into the story. Verse number 26, jump down there with me if you would. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered the manner of his greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." I wish for you in this Christmas season that you would have the favor of God. I wish for you that in night seasons and in a time that might be difficult, and maybe for some you're walking through some time in your life and you're wondering where God is and you're wondering if he's forgotten you, if he's answering your prayers, I wish for you that you know that you have the favor of God. You see, Mary was a simple and a poor woman. She, in society, was probably pretty insignificant. She was probably not known among the royalty. And yet, God had not forgotten her. And today, let me just tell you, politicians might not know your name. Millionaires might not know your name. There might even be people in leadership here at Christ Church of Orlando that don't know your name. There may be people who've forgotten you in your family and forgotten you on your job, but let me just tell you, God has not forgotten you. And God has a plan for you, and his plan is a good plan for you. And so today, I wish for you to walk in the favor of God, that you know that God is for you and he is not against you. You might be saying, "Well, Pastor, I don't know exactly what the favor of God means. What does it mean to have the favor of God?" There are a lot of people that talk about it, meaning that you can have, like, you're going to get the stuff that you want. Like, you can get a car, you can get a better job, you'll get the promotion. And it can be that, but it's not exclusive to that. Here's what the favor of God actually means. It means that you walk in the presence of God and he works his will in your life. That you walk in the presence of God and he's working God's will in your life. Now, this is what's amazing to me, is because it's possible for you to have those things and not have the favor of God. But you could be anywhere. Joseph, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, Joseph, he had been rejected by his brothers, put into a pit. He was then delivered into prison and betrayed in prison, lied on in prison, cheated on, and in all of that, here's what the Bible says, God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. He had the favor of God. So listen, there are a lot of people think like, "Man, if I can get the promotion, I have God's favor. If I can get the girl, I've got God's favor. If I get the guy, I got God's favor. If I can get the parking space by Macy's front door." But let me just tell you, it's not based on circumstance. It's based on the presence of God working his will in your life. That's the favor of God. When you're walking, Joseph, he's in the pit. Listen, he had the favor of God in the pit. He's in prison, and he still has the favor of God. The circumstance might not reflect it yet, but just understand, when you walk in God's presence, he's working you towards something. I'm praying that in the days ahead, you'll know that you have the favor of God, that he's working in you, and he's working through you, and working towards something in your life. Somebody want the favor of God in this place? Say amen. Here we go. Reading on, verse number 31, "And behold," the angel says to her, "behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And what that means is, how can this be since I'm still a virgin? How can this be since I'm not married? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." There's so much good stuff in that. He's born of a virgin, but he's also born of God. Verse number 36, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, who has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." Now, let me just talk about this for a few moments. The angel of the Lord comes to her and says, "Mary, you're going to conceive a child, and he's going to be the Son of God. He's going to sit on a throne that will last forever. And Mary says, how can I do this? Because I'm a virgin, I'm not married. This is absolutely an impossibility. And the angel says to her, with God, nothing is impossible. I pray for you and I wish for you, one of my wishes for your Christmas season is that you will experience a nothing is impossible circumstance with God. That you in your life, in your circumstances, will experience God in an impossible circumstance where he makes something possible in your life. Mary says, man, it's impossible for this to happen. It's impossible. I'm at a disadvantage here. I don't have what I need for this to take place. My life is without that. My life is void of the necessary components for this to take place. And the angel of the Lord says, that's not impossible with God. And you might be here today and you might be saying, like, I don't have favor on my job. I don't have somebody who's pulling for me. I don't even have the right finances. I didn't get the right education. Listen today, I'm praying that you will experience God in an impossible way and that you will see him show up in impossibilities and make it possible in your life. God wants to do the impossible in your life. There is somebody here today, you might be saying, like, it's impossible for my marriage to work. It's impossible for me to be reconciled to my mother or father. It's impossible for me to be reconciled to my children. It's impossible that that person that I love will ever come to know God. It's impossible that in these circumstances that I'll ever see God show up in this. And I'm praying that you will see nothing is impossible with God's circumstances where he'll show up and do something possible. Here's what it says in Matthew, the 19th chapter. With God, all things are possible. In Mark, the 9th chapter, it says, everything is possible for him who believes. I wish for you this season, this nothing is impossible experience, where when you're standing at the Red Sea, that God parts the Red Sea in front of you, that you'll experience a nothing is impossible with God. If you're in a Daniel in a lion's den, that God will show up and he'll save you. That if you're in a fiery furnace, that you'll find out it's not impossible for you to survive. That if you're in a place where someone in your life has died and there's your marriage, your home, your family is dying, listen, somewhere in there that Jesus shows up at that funeral and he says, there's nothing impossible. Lazarus, come forth, and he calls the dead back to life. I'm praying that in your life, you will see God show up and do the impossible. That's what I wish for you this year. Amen. You might say, exactly how's that going to take place? Verse number 35, just go back there with me if you would. Here's what it says. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. There are some of you who need to offer forgiveness. You've been hurt. There are some of you, you walk in a wound. There are some that you're walking in some place in your mind, you're walking in insecurity, and you've gone to Tony Robbins, you've gone to all of those things, you've done everything, you've gone through counseling, and you're like, I just can't get over this. Here's what he says, the power of the Holy One will overshadow you. I'm praying that in your impossible circumstance that you can't move forward through, that the power of the Holy Spirit will come and overshadow you and he'll do what you cannot do, that you'll see God show up in a spectacular way. Here's what the Bible says, that when we dwell in his presence, he overshadows us. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Mighty. Psalm 57 says that we can take refuge in him when he overshadows us. I'm praying that he'll overshadow you and you'll see God show up in something that looks like it's impossible. Here's the third one, and I'm going to read on. Then Mary said, verse number 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let it be to me according, whatever you want. Here's my third wish, is that you will be totally submitted to the will of God. That you'll be totally submitted to the will of God. That God, he has a plan for you. God has a direction for your life. There's some place that he's taken you. And many times we pray, like, Lord, I want you to do something in my life. I'm asking you to lead me and guide me. Lord, show me what my purpose is. Give me some direction in my life. And then the interesting thing about it is when like supernatural things begin to take place, we begin to fight against it. Like, okay, Lord, I wanted you to show up and I wanted direction, but that wasn't the direction I was looking for. Here's how that starts to look, you know, like, Lord, I'm asking you, God, to send the right person into my life. Lord, let that person come in so I'll be able to serve you, that I won't be lonely. I'll be godly and be able to serve you in a godly household. And then when time passes and no one shows up, what we start to do is we start to look around like, well, okay, Lord, while you're busy over there doing whatever it is that you're doing, I can't see you really doing something. So, well, that looks like a good candidate. I'll start to date them. Well, she looks really good. I'll start to date her. And then we fall in love and get engaged. And then after we do all of that, we're like, okay, God, I know that you have a plan and you have a will for my life. And so I don't know where you've been or what you've been doing, but this is the person I'm engaged to. Will you bless this? Many times what we do is we start to work our own plan rather than being submitted to the will of God and saying, okay, God, I want your will. I'll wait till you send me that person. I'll wait till what you want in my life. I'll wait on the job. I'll wait for you. I'll wait to see your direction. I'll wait. But what we do instead is we do something and then ask God to bless what we've done. And seriously, God doesn't bless anything that isn't his own plan. So today, I'm going to pray for you that you'll be submitted, that you'll say yes to the will of God. And what's the awesome thing about this is how she does this is she says, Lord, not my will. I don't want what I want. I want what you want. Lord, whatever it is that you have for my life. Now, the interesting thing, many of us, we pray that. If you're in church very long, it becomes a common prayer. Like, God, I want your will for me. But you know what we don't want? We don't want the pain that goes with God's will. We don't want the pain that goes with purpose. And see, if you're ever going to do anything in your life that's going to be of great magnitude, there's going to be not just some uncomfortability that comes with it, there's going to be some pain that's going to come with it. There's going to be some difficulty that's going to come. And like, Lord, I want your will, I want your plan in my life, but please don't let me have to walk through any pain. But most likely in your life and in my life, we're going to have to walk through pain to get to God's purpose in our life. The purpose is generally on the other side of the pain. So when we say, Lord, I want your will in my life, it might mean that you're going to have some difficult days. It might mean that somebody's going to lie on you. Somebody is going to put you down. Somebody's going to say, what is going on in her life? She's not even in a place where she should be doing that. She doesn't have all the stuff. She doesn't have the education. He doesn't have the calling. He doesn't have the right people behind him. And you might have to walk through some pain. You might have to walk away from some friends. You might have to walk away from some circumstance. You might have to walk through some difficulties in your own heart and say, okay, Lord, I wanted this, but now I hear you calling me to that. And man, it really hurts to go after that and reject that. And let that thing in my life die so that I could have the life that you have for me. There's probably going to be some pain involved in following God's call for your life. But I'm praying for you today that you'll say, Lord, if you're going to birth something down inside of me, if you're going to do something spectacular in my future, Lord, I understand that I can't do it on my own. So I'm going to die to my plan and I'm going to say yes to your plan. I'm wondering if there's anybody in this place today that you're willing to die to your own plan and say yes to God's plan. Surrender to him completely. Surrender to him regardless of what your age is. Surrender to him regardless of what the circumstance. Many times in our life, what we have to die to, are you ready, is our need for control. Like, we want to control it. We want to describe it. We want to prescribe what God's going to do. And then sometimes we have to go, I don't even know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to say yes to your plan, God. I'm going to finish this out here in these next few moments. Read with me in verse number 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now here she is. She's coming to her cousin's house. If you remember, her Elizabeth's husband is that priest we talked about earlier. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of the Lord would come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Okay, there are some things in this passage that are so rich that when you walk towards the will of God, when the Holy Spirit is overshadowing you and you're walking in His presence towards His plan and His purpose, that your life is going to affect other people. The Spirit of God inside of you is going to call the Spirit of God to come alive in other people. That their vision, their plans, the things that were dormant down inside of them, when you walk in the room and you begin to speak the things of God and your life begins to flourish, it's going to cause their life to flourish also, just simply because the power of the Holy Spirit is overshadowing you and now you're in their life. You're in that space and God can do that work through you. But here's what she says. She says in that very last verse, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Mary, you're going to be blessed because you believed. And this is a confirmation of the word that the Holy Spirit already brought. The Holy Spirit already brought this word through the angel and said, "You're going to be blessed." And now Elizabeth confirms this. So today, I want you to write this. This is my last point. I wish for you to have a heart to believe. The reason why Mary was in this position is because she believed. I'm going to give you four things real quick, and these are just side notes and things that I observed while I was studying this out. First thing that I'd like for you to observe is that the spirit of the prophecy had not entirely ceased among the Jews. It was actually also taking place through a woman that Elizabeth prophesied. And when Elizabeth, she said, "You will be this. This is what's going to take." And it was a confirmation of what the angel said. Here's the next thing I'd like for you to observe is that the Holy Spirit is the source of light and comfort and joy. Like it was the Holy Spirit doing this work. This wasn't just some magnanimous personality that she was just creating these circumstances. It was a work that only God could do, and He was working in the circumstance. Here's the third one, that there's the prospect of the coming of the Messiah was one of great joy and rejoicing among ancient saints. They rejoiced that the Lord was coming. They rejoiced that He was there, and we should rejoice at His coming also. And here's the last one. Mary was blessed not only for bringing Christ into this world, but also that she believed in Christ. She was blessed because she believed. I'm praying for you that regardless of the circumstance, when you have a choice to doubt or believe, that you'll choose to believe. I'm praying for you that in the dark hours that you might be walking through, or anytime you're walking through the dark hours ahead, that you'll choose that God is still on the throne, that He's still working, that there's still some place that He's taking you towards, that you won't abandon, that you won't walk away, but you'll continue to believe. I want you to pay attention to one thing, if you would. I want you to pay attention to the contrast between Mary and Joseph. Go back to verse number 11 with me, if you would. But the angel, Mary and Zacharias, and the angel said to Zacharias, "Do not be afraid. Zacharias, your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will call his name John." Does that sound anything like the angel saying to Mary, "You will conceive a son and you will call his name Jesus. Do not be afraid"? I mean, it's the same announcement. Like Gabriel was on the birthing tour, you know? He shows up at Zacharias' house and prophesies and says, "You're going to have a son." And then he goes to Mary. But listen to this. Listen, the key is in the response. Zacharias said, it can't be. Can't be, and here's the reason why it can't be. And somewhere in the response, his was a no. I'm saying no to this. We're too old. This is too late in our lives. No. And consequently, his mouth was made mute. He could not speak. like everything that he would do, be able to speak life, it was blocked up. But Mary on the other side, the angel comes and says, God's going to do something amazing in your life. And she chose to believe. When you choose to believe, God can birth a future in you. When you choose to believe, God can do the impossible. When you choose to believe, God can show vision. When you choose to believe, God can move you in direction. He can give you your purpose when you choose to believe. So I'm going to challenge you to choose to believe today. Mary chose to believe even though circumstances were not good. When people gossiped about her, she still believed. When people gossiped about her son, she still believed. When people turned against her son, she still believed. When they beat and crucified her son, she still believed. When they hung him on a cross, she still believed. And when he rose from the dead, she still believed, because she had believed what the angel of the Lord said to her. And today, I'm here to tell you, God has a plan for you. He has a direction for your life. He has a purpose for you. And it might look like it's impossible, but I'm going to challenge you. Believe and let the Holy Spirit overshadow you, and he'll take you from where you are into the place that he has in your future. Amen. And her response, Mary responds, and you could read the passage later. She says, my soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit does rejoice in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. Let me just tell you what that means to me. When I was a little kid, they used to have magnifying glasses. Anybody, do they make magnifying glasses anymore? I guess Boy Scouts, do Boy Scouts still have magnifying glasses to start a fire and burn the forest down in Georgia or something? I don't know. But when I was a little kid, they used to have magnifying glasses, and you'd take a magnifying glass and you'd look through it, and you know what it would do? It would take something that was really small and it would make it big. It would make it larger. It would make it visible. It would make it oversized. Mary says, in this impossible circumstance, I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to put my focus on him, and I'm going to allow him to look bigger. I'm going to get him bigger. I'm going to praise him to a bigger place in my life. I'm going to praise him that he's bigger than my circumstance, that he's bigger than my night season, that he's bigger than rejection, that he's bigger than the despair I'm in. I'm going to praise him because I know that when I praise him, he's going to birth this thing inside of me, and it's going to bring me into my future. So today, magnify him. Magnify him in your circumstance, and you're going to see that God's going to bring you to the place that he has for you. Today, I want to pray for you. I wish for you the favor of God, that you'd see God in impossible circumstances, that you'd be submitted to him, and that you would always believe. Let me pray with you.